Mets Musings is presented by FanDuel. FanDuel is the leader in one-day fantasy sports for money with immediate cash payouts, no commitments, and leagues from $1. Sign up at FanDuel.com and use the promo code METSMUSINGS. And by BaseballTalkRadio.com. BaseballTalkRadio.com is the home of over 30 of the finest baseball podcasts, with podcasts covering the U.S., Canada, and even a podcast on Japanese baseball. Fantasy leagues, we got you covered. Even a groundskeeper, we got it right here. If it's baseball, we'll be talking about it at BaseballTalkRadio.com, the home of great baseball talk shows.
Now it's time for some New York Mets baseball talk. Here's Gary Mack bringing you the latest news and analysis from Mets Nation and the world of baseball on another edition of Mets Musings.
And hello and welcome to another edition of Mets Musings. I'm your host, Gary Mack, and welcome to the 246th edition of the podcast. And don't forget, you can find the podcast at MetsMusings.com, BaseballPodcast.net, BaseballTalkRadio.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes.com, and TuneIn.com. Now, if you have a question or a comment for me, there are three ways to get them to me. You can email at MetsMusings@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline at 516-619-6341. Or go to MetsMusings.com and click on the widget in the middle of the page and send a voicemail right through your computer. And I will play it right here on the show. And don't forget, I am blogging now. Yes, it's MetsMusings blog.blogspot.com, or you can just go to MetsMusings.com, click on the blog in the header there, and it'll take you right to the page. Let's talk about some of the comings and goings on this week in the Mets world. Personally, it was a great week. I hope all of you had a great week. I went to like two book signings in the last 10 days and really had a great time for great guys, great authors, and terrific books. The first one was at Turn of the Corkscrew in Rockville Center. Great little bookstore. And Greg Prince was there with his terrific book, Amazing Again. And really, it was pretty terrific to meet Greg and to talk some Mets baseball with him. And just a wonderful guy. And I encourage everybody to go out and buy the book and read the book. It is a great book, all about last year's team and his feelings as the season went on. Just a great reminder and a refresher of what happened last year to our wonderful 2015 Mets team. And the other book signing I went to was in Farmingdale at the Main Event, another nice venue, great bar and restaurant there, so go check that out. And it was Mark Rosemond and Howie Carpin were signing the book and giving a little talk on their book, Down on the Corner, Ralph Kiner and Kiner's Corner. And another great day, great talking to those guys, meeting them for the first time, terrific guys, really had a good time, and they really got a great book out there. So if you're an older fan or even a newer fan, to learn about the history of the Mets, go pick up Ralph Kiner. This book, Mark Rosemond and Howie Carpenter's book, Down on a Corner, Kiner's Corner, about all about Kiner's Corner and Ralph Kiner. So go check out those two. And don't forget, with Father's Day coming up, it's a great time to give out some great books. And there's tons of brand new books out there about the Mets. Eric Sherman's 86 Mets books, Kings of Queens, all about the 86 Mets, now and then, or then and now, I should say. Let's see. I mentioned the Greg Prince book, Amazing Again, Down on a Corner. And also the Game of My Life, New York Mets by Michael Gary, another terrific book. And When Shea Was Home by Brett Topol. Very interesting book about the 75 season with the Mets, Jets, Giants, and the Yankees all played at Shea Stadium. Go check that out. We're working on getting Brett on the show, and he may be on in a couple of weeks. So go get that book, too. That's another good one. And let's see, what did I forget? Oh, of course, the great Frank Nappy and his wonderful series, the Mickey Tussler series, and his latest book is out, the third book, Welcome to the Show. So go check that out as well. Terrific books. And you can't go wrong giving a book, and those particular books, for Father's Day. So it's only a couple of weeks away, folks. So go out and grab those books for your dads. All right, Mets had a great week since our last together. They went 5-1. They swept Milwaukee, and they took 2 out of 3 from the Nationals on Monday. Boy, Bartolo Colon turned in a great performance. He allowed 1 run on 5 hits and 2 walks with 2 strikeouts in 7 innings to snap a personal 2-game losing streak. Cespedes and Walker hit back-to-back home runs in the 4th inning. It was the 7th time the Mets have hit consecutive homers this year. Tuesday, the results weren't as good. Matt Harvey bombed again. He gave up 3 home runs in the 4th inning. He gave up 2 in the 4th, and I guess the other one was in the 5th. I don't know what's wrong with Harvey, folks. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know if it's psychological. I don't know if it's physical. I'm at a loss. I can't tell you what's going on with that young man, but he does not look like the same pitcher he did even last year. So the Mets say he's going to make his next scheduled start, which would be Monday, I believe, against the White Sox. But I can't see how to keep running him out there, to be honest with you. He's just not getting the job done, and it's really hurting this team. So we'll have to see as the Harvey saga continues, and this could go on for a while. I think the Mets have to take the bull by the horns, though, and make a decision. Either send them to the bullpen, send him to the minors. I don't know what the answer is. Put him on the DL. One of those three, something has to be done. And on Wednesday, just the flip side of the coin, Steven Matz saved the whole series by pitching an outstanding game, 8 scoreless innings. He struck out 7. The Mets beat the Nationals to take the series 2-0. He retired 16 straight batters before Clint Robinson hit a 2-out single in the 8th. They left him in the game after that to face Bryce Harper, who was a pinch hitter, who grounded out to end the inning, and then Matz was done for the day. But what a great pitching performance by Steven Matz, and he between him and Syndergaard, and even DeGrom struggling a little bit. He's scuffling, though. He's still getting by. The weak point in the pitching staff now is Matt Harvey, but Matt's it was just awesome, and it's been awesome ever since opening day. He had that bad first start, and ever since then, he has been terrific. So that's the recap. And in other news this week, it's not a good week that way. The injury report, Lucas Duda was placed on a 15-day disabled list with a stress fracture in his lower back and is expected to miss a minimum of 4 to 6 weeks. Ty Kelly, who was leading all minor leagues and hitting with a .391 average for Las Vegas, was promoted to take Duda's spot. He could miss more than that. I mean, 4 to 6 weeks, I think that's kind of an optimistic diagnosis, but I don't have a medical degree, so we'll just leave it at that. Left-handed reliever Dario Alvarez, who the Mets designated for assignment on Monday, has signed with the Atlanta Braves. Alvarez was removed from the 40-man roster to make room for Ty Kelly. The 27-year-old had a 9.98 ERA and a 2.09 whip in 17 games. For Las Vegas this season, he had a 12.27 ERA in 6 games last season for the Mets. So Dario wasn't getting the job done. I actually saw him pitch in Brooklyn a couple of years ago, but wasn't getting it done here, and the Mets had to let him go. And I hope he finds his stuff and makes it back to the major leagues, even if it is with the Atlanta Braves. Mets closer Jerys Familia locked down his 16th save of the season yesterday and now holds the franchise record for consecutive regular season saves with 32, moving ahead of Billy Wagner, who saved 31 straight for the Mets between 2006 and 2007. So congratulations to Mr. Familia for getting his name in the record, Mets record books. And Mets shortstop Astrubel Cabrera was pulled from Wednesday's game due to back spasms. Matt Reynolds started in his place, but said after the game he will be ready to play Friday. So just a precaution more than anything else. Wilmer Flores went 0 for 5 while playing 9 innings at first base during his second rehab game for AA Binghamton yesterday. He's been out since May 12th due to strained left hamstring and is eligible to return on Friday. And Wilmer's going to play a big part now. He's going to get a chance to play because he's going to play for Duda. I would imagine he'll get the bulk of the time. Eric Campbell's been playing. He's done a pretty good job, but still, the offense isn't there, but he's weathered the storm, and they've won 5 out of 6 games. So, thank you, Eric Campbell. But Wilmer Flores should be eligible tomorrow night against the Dodgers, and I would expect to see him at first base and see him penciled in there quite some time now in a row. Zach Wheeler is back on the throwing progression. It should put his return from Tommy John surgery around July 1st. Wheeler on Monday threw off the slope of a mound for the first time since a minor procedure to remove a stitch from his arm. Wheeler, who underwent Tommy John surgery in March of 2015, had been throwing off the slope of a mound during spring training. However, surgery to remove an undissolved stitch delayed him from advancing past that benchmark, but did not knock Wheeler off course from a potential July the 1st return. He should advance to full bullpen sessions in the coming weeks. Look, the Mets could use him with the way that Harvey's going. He's going to be a welcome back. And don't forget, he'll be coming back. And if he can do pretty well, we're not going to expect a lot. But it'll be a shot in the arm because he'll be there. And he'll be there for right before the heat of the season. And it'll be another arm just to help take the stress off some of the other guys. So it'll be almost like making a trade to bring in a guy of that caliber. And like I said, I hope he'll be fairly decent and he's got pretty good stuff and can get us through the rest of the season. So that's good news. On his battery mate, catcher Travis d'Arnaud is returning to Port St. Lucie, Florida for team-supervised rehab. He was in California working with a personal trainer. There is still no timetable for the return of d'Arnaud, who landed on a disabled list in late April with a right rotator cuff strain. He still got a little time in front of him before we get him back out on the playing field playing baseball, John Rico, the assistant GM, said, but he did feel better the last time he threw. So, d'Arnaud, I like it, d'Arnaud, but the guy can't stay healthy. And I wrote about this in a blog post I did, so if you want to go check that out, please do. But the bottom line is the guy can hit. He's a great teammate and everything, but he can't stay healthy. And that's just a shame. You hate to see somebody's career sidelined by that, but we'll see where that all goes. All right, let's take a break, and I'll come back with my guest right after these messages.
Hey, baseball fans and book fans as well. This is Frank Nappy, author of the Legend of Mickey Tussler series, inviting all of you to learn more about my protagonist, Mickey Tussler, an incredible pitching prodigy who has autism. Follow Mickey's journey as he captures the hearts of fans everywhere with his blazing fastball and indomitable spirit. Please visit Amazon or www.franknappy.com for more information.
Hi, this is the world-famous Mr. Brewtown of Brewtown Sports Stop, Hotomatic.com. You know, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. Brewtown Sports. You can also listen to the show at Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, and iTunes.com. And we've got the new one. It's called BrewtownRadio.Webley.com, but the one that I'm most proud of being on is BaseballPodcast.net. It is the home of great baseball talk shows. Check it out, my show and all kinds of other programs all about Major League Baseball. So check it out. That's baseballpodcast.net, the home for great baseball talk shows.
The Phillies and Mets rivalry has never been better. Hi, my name is Rich Baxter, and I host Phillies Talk Podcast. I hope you'll join me as we talk all about the Phillies all season long. That's Phillies Talk Podcast at FightinPhillies.com. And now back to Gary Mack and this great edition of Mets Musings.
And Gary Mack here with you tonight, and joining me tonight is Jared Massey. He is the co-host of Dugout Blues, a Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, and it's available at dugoutblues.com and on baseballtalkradio.com. Jared, welcome back to Mets Musings.
Thanks for having me, Gary. It's nice to be here.
Well, Jared was with us last year, if you folks remember, and we had a great discussion about the Dodgers, and it's that time of year again, and we didn't get the chance to get together before the first series, the four-game set out in L.A., but now the Dodgers are invading New York, and we're all ready to go. Any thoughts on the first game, the first series? We split it 2-2, so it was pretty even right down the middle.
Yeah, that's about what I was looking for. You know, the Mets have some great pitching, obviously. The Dodgers countered with just enough offense to scrape by two wins, so I was happy with that result.
And they have had some trouble this year scoring runs, have they not?
They definitely have. Some stalwarts in the lineup have really been struggling in May. Yasmani Grandal, for example, was one of the top performers at the catcher position in the first half last year, and he's all but disappeared this month. Even Adrian Gonzalez, who's supposed to be the cornerstone of that lineup, is just he's really, really struggled. So luckily they have some young kids who've been coming around this month, but overall the offense has been somewhat stagnant.
Now, we saw a lot of Howie Kendrick when we were out there, as we saw some of Chase Utley, but did they keep Utley out because of last year's results, or was it just timing?
Let's call it a little bit of both, I would assume. Yeah, they've been struggling to get playing time for both Utley and Kendrick, simply because they're both, you know, second basemen. They've been putting Kendrick in left field to try to get him playing time. But overall, yeah, I think it was a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Well, it's kind of funny you mentioned Kendrick playing some left field, and this was a team that last year was talking about trading outfield because they had an overabundance of them, and now this year that seems to be they're a little bit tight there because they lost Van Slyk for a while, and who's the other guy I'm thinking of? Oh, Ethea is out, also out with a right fracture, right? He fractured his, broke his leg. And
that's right.
Any sign of those guys coming back soon?
Well, Van Slyke's been on minor league rehabilitation, so he should be back within the next week or two. With Ethier, he's out indefinitely. I think he's aiming for the All-Star break to come back, but that was a real tough blow, him fouling a ball off his leg and fracturing it. He was one of their most consistent performers last year, so that was a tough loss.
And what a way to go, huh? I mean, you know, you just foul a ball and, geez, Louise, that's not good news when that happens.
Definitely not.
Bring us up to date on some of the young guys. I saw Jock Peterson had a couple of hits, I think it was last night or so. He got off to the fast start last year, slumped quite a bit in the second half of the season. Is he showing a little bit more consistency this year, or what are you seeing so far?
Well, I think the approach is better. He doesn't seem to be trying to kill every pitch, which is generally a good sign. Like the ball he hit last night to give the Dodgers the lead was a changeup low and away, and he went down and got it instead of swinging over it, you know, out of his shoes. So he's shown a much more consistent approach this year. He's still striking out at a healthy clip, but he's getting on base, hitting for power. Looks like first half jock is back, and hopefully there's no regression again this year.
And Corey Seager is the other guy, the young shortstop. How much has he been playing? Because I don't think we saw him as much.
Yeah, I think he started, I want to say, 4 games in the NLDS last year, and then I think he came off the bench in the final game. He's been playing well. I mean, he just turned 22 in April. He's real poised. He really has that air about him of he's been here before, done it before. He's a very mature 22-year-old, and he's been surprisingly competent on defense, even though he's 6'4" and plays shortstop. But yeah, he carries himself like a veteran big leaguer, and he's been playing like one so far this year.
And of course, Justin Turner is. Is he having the kind of season he had last year, or has he dropped down a little bit this year?
This year, yeah, he's definitely dropped off offensively. I mean, in 2014, he hit 340 in 109 games. And then last year, that number dropped to 294 as batting average. And now it's all the way down to 238. So something is afoot. I don't know what. I'm hoping it's not an injury. Or maybe that might be a good thing because that would explain the struggles. But yeah, he doesn't seem to be hitting the ball with as much authority. He seems to be swinging at bad pitches. Hopefully it's something that's temporary and not a permanent regression to his career mean.
Yeah. And the enigma out in right field, Yasiel Puig. I mean,
that's a kind way to put it.
This guy has got so much talent, and yet, boy, sometimes you wonder where he's hiding you.
Yeah, you know, he's really struggled this year. He was down last year, and then this year it's gotten even worse. It just seems like he's got a million and one things going on in his head at once. He seems completely lost mentally. And then you look at his swing, and it's a mess, and he's changing his swing mechanics mid-game, and he's popping up, you know, almost every pitch he sees, it seems like. I'm not really sure. He really needs to get going because, you know, some of their veterans have been playing below their talent levels, and he would be a big pick-me-up if he could perform offensively.
And it's just, you know, like I said, there's just so much talent there. Mm-hmm. And do you think it's... What's the feel out there? Is it a mental thing? Is it just a lack of maturity? Any kind of thoughts on that?
You know, I honestly don't know. The feeling out here is he's either trying too hard or not trying hard enough. There seems to be a gulf between people's ideas about him, but To me, it's mostly mental. It just seems mental. It seems like he's overthinking things. It seems like he's trying too hard to be perfect. And then when he does connect with the ball, for example, I think it was on Monday, he hit a ball off the wall in right field and stood there gazing at it, ended up with a single, and was pulled out of the game and didn't start the following night. So actually, I think that was Tuesday. But yeah, he really is an enigma wrapped inside a riddle. Hopefully he can figure it out. Hopefully he can stick with, you know, one swing, just, you know, swing one way, and hopefully that'll be the right way, and he'll get back off the schneid.
Boy, because, you know, we remember 2 years ago with the whole when he came up, and I think it was 2 years ago.
And he came up in 2013 and then was a regular in 2014.
Oh, okay. So it was 3 years. Yeah, when the whole thing about getting him on the All-Star team, he was so hot. And
mm-hmm.
Wow. just amazing. Such a talent, and yet hope it doesn't go wasted.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, you're going to get a look at the Dodgers. We will, too, here in New York. The top pitching prospect in your organization, and that's Julio Urías, I think it's pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to start on Friday night. What can you tell us about him? He's only 19.
He is a wunderkind. You know, signed out of Mexico in 2012 as a 16-year-old and has just dominated at every level in the minor leagues, despite being about 4 or 5 years younger than his competition. Just really one of a kind in terms of his talent ability, his ability relative to his age. You know, good fastball. He's got a pair of breaking balls that he has confidence in and a changeup. And then this year he's taken a step forward with his command. He's thrown more strikes. And prior to being called up, he actually had a 27-inning scoreless streak in his last 27 innings with AAA, despite pitching in the Pacific Coast League as a 19-year-old. So there's there's not enough good things to say about him. And hopefully Dodger fans can temper their expectations because, again, he is only 19 making his professional or his major league debut. So, yeah, definitely excited to see what he's capable of. Not sure. He probably won't go more than 5, maybe 6 innings. But, yeah, very, very, very exciting.
And I guess they'd want to keep his innings down this first year. And probably will he head to the bullpen after this start or whenever? Because he's going to take Alex Wood's place, and he's got a minor injury. And will they keep him as a starter, or do you think they'll move him to the bullpen?
Yeah, there are mixed thoughts on what to do with him after tomorrow's game. Obviously, one of them is they could move him to the bullpen. I think I heard someone say, I think it was Ken Gernick, who's the MLB.com reporter, Dodgers.com reporter, saying that there was a thought that they could kind of bounce him back and forth between the bullpen and the rotation to kind of keep him fresh, but also limit his innings. The other thought is they could bring him up for a few starts and then send him down. I'm honestly of the mind that he should be pitching regularly, and he should be given the chance to develop. His development is more important than his production, his major league production at this stage. So I wouldn't be upset if he came up for a few games, started 2 or 3 games, and then went back down, especially with Wood hopefully only needing to miss one start, and then Hyunjin Ryu, who missed all of last year, coming back healthy within the next few weeks.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's better to have him pitching in a rotation all the time, and I'm not so sure that it's, especially at 19, maybe if he was a couple of years older, you could put him in the bullpen and he could work his way there, like the Cardinals seem to do with some of their young guys. But at that age, I think you're better off just pitching every fifth day. And he'll be going against Jacob DeGrom, who's been scuffling a little bit lately, but pitched a pretty good game, didn't get a win the last time out. So that ought to be an interesting matchup tomorrow night. And then Saturday is, help me with this, Maeda. Maeda. He's going to pitch against Syndergaard. What can you? We saw him out there. I believe we faced him, and I believe he lost or got a no decision. But I think the Mets won that game. Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, I believe that game he also pitched against Syndergaard, and Syndergaard hit 2 home runs off of him. Thank you for not bringing that up. he's an interesting case. He hasn't had as much success recently as he had in the beginning of his debut. In his first 4 starts, he only allowed 1 run, and then in his last 3 starts, he's allowed 4 runs each time. So I don't know if it's a sense of the league catching up with him or him changing something, but yeah, he hasn't been as strong as he was early in the year, and hopefully he can get back to that early year success that he was having.
Yeah, he got off to a real strong start, and then it just now he's struggling. But you know, sometimes that happens. They get a little book on you. He's got to make the adjustment, and the league adjusted to him, and he'll have to adjust to them now. And then on Sunday is some guy, I don't recognize his name.
Not familiar, I don't think.
He's going, whoever that guy's name is, he's going against Cologne on Sunday. And did we have to see that guy again?
Well, it is a treat unless he's facing your team, I think.
That's right.
I was saying about Urias, there's not enough superlatives and compliments to give him. With Kershaw, it kind of, goes through that roof. I honestly don't know what to say. He's just been, better than anyone could have hoped. And, it's amazing that he's been this good for this long. And hopefully he doesn't give up Bartolo's second career home run.
Well, we could all use a good boost of laughter.
Right. I think Kershaw would be laughing the hardest.
I think he's the type of guy, I don't think it would bother him in the least bit. Mm-hmm. But he is an awesome pitcher. It's just incredible. It's painful to watch him, but at the same time, it's a joy. Like you said, it's great for you guys to watch him, but not so much for us. I don't mind watching him when he's playing somebody else, but when he's playing the Mets, it's painful to watch him. But what can you say? And he's a workhorse too. I mean,
oh yeah,
he doesn't miss any starts or anything, and he's over 200 innings every year, it seems. Just unbelievable. And talk about a guy earning his contract.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's one of the hardest workers in Major League Baseball for sure, and he's a perfectionist. He screams at himself on the mound when he doesn't put a pitch exactly where he wants it. And, if he issues a walk, he's now issued 5 on the year. He's unhappy with himself. But, yeah, he's just an incredibly hard worker and an incredibly humble person who I've had the good fortune to speak to a few times. And like you said, he deserves all the accolades because he is, for as good a pitcher as he is, he's as good or maybe better person.
Yeah, he just seems like a terrific guy. It's going to be a good series, I think. It was a good series out there, and only 3 games this time, but I think it'll be a good one.
Absolutely. It should be fun to watch.
And always, when the Dodgers, with the connection back to Brooklyn here, and there's always a lot of old Brooklyn Dodger fans that wane nostalgia about the old days when the Dodgers come. Not so much now, but when I was around in the early 60s and they were starting out, there was quite a bit of it, but a lot of those people have left. Vince Scully, what can you say? It's his last season. Lots of accolades for him and everything. What's the feeling out there about Vin and his this final curtain call?
I mean, it's bittersweet. It's like, for me, it's like your grandfather is retiring and leaving baseball. It's, he's been such a big part of the Dodgers and baseball as a whole for so many years. It's just unbelievable to think that it's coming to an end, and yet you look back and reflect on what he's done for the game and can't help but smile thinking about his famous calls and, the way he talks about players and the way he describes the game like no one else does. It's truly been a remarkable ride with him, and as much as I'm not looking forward to seeing him go, I'm so thankful for being able to listen to him for all these years. And I'm sure Dodger fans and fans around baseball who've had the good fortune to listen to him call a game feel the same way.
And I think the thing of it is with him also is that he's really kind of the last of the old style announcers, the one or two person booth. He does the games by himself. Now is a lot of the two and the three people doing it. But he really is the link back to the golden age of baseball, as they call it, in the 40s and the 50s.
Absolutely. I mean, he was there in the 50s,
right,
which is crazy to think about. He is a link to the past. And, you know, you lose that and you lose yet another, you know, callback to the, you know, the golden days of especially New York baseball,
yeah,
back in the 50s with the Giants and the Dodgers and the Yankees. So, I mean, it's kind of amazing to have someone who's experienced 67 years of baseball and the changes and the inventions and all of the great things and even some of the bad things, you know, to have that kind of history to call upon and to share with the world. It's something that's going to be greatly missed.
It certainly will be. And Jarrett, I want to thank you for coming on again this season and talking to us about the Dodgers. And go ahead, you can plug whatever you want.
Well, thank you again for having me, Gary. If you want to read some of my words, go to dodgerblue.com. And if you want to listen to me talk, I have a podcast on iTunes and some other websites. I think dugoutblues.com. Dugout Blues is the name of the podcast if you want to listen. And again, Gary, I really enjoy talking with you.
And it's always a pleasure here, Jarrett. And we'll be back right after this. 516-619-6341. That is the comment voicemail hotline if you'd like to be a part of the show. And drop us a line, leave us a comment or a voicemail question, anything at all. Call that number, 516-619-6341. Or go to MetsMusings.com and click on that widget in the middle of the screen, and that's a speak pipe, and you can leave a voicemail right through your computer through your computer's microphone. Or if you prefer to do things the old-fashioned way, send us an email at MetsMusings@gmail.com. The Facebook page is Facebook.com/groups/MetsMusings. And the Twitter handle is @MetsMusings1. And if you'd like to help out the show, check out our Patreon page. Check out the campaign at patreon.com/MetsMusings. All right, and we're back with the minor league recaps for the week. Last night's minor league action, Las Vegas 51s lost their third game in a row against the AAA affiliate from the Oakland A's, the Nashville Sounds. 51s lost that game 5-3. The Sounds scored 2 in the top of the 12th to beat the 51s. Gavin Cecchini had a huge return from the DL for the 51s, making hard contact and picking up 3 hits. Vegas is now 24-21 on the year, 1.5 games out of the division lead. And the Binghamton Mets, yes, it's still the Mets. They haven't changed their name. That'll be next year. Looks like they could be called the Stud Muffins. Anyway, they lost their second game in a row against the San Francisco Giants AA affiliate, 11-2. Randy Lara got the start for Binghamton and dropped to 2-5 on the season. Lara went just 4 innings, allowing 3 runs on 5 hits. He walked 1 and did not record a strikeout. Binghamton is struggling this year, folks. They went to 18-26 on the season, and they're 12 games back in their division. The St. Lucie Mets, they even their series against the Class A advanced affiliate from the Tampa Bay Rays as St. Lucie beat the Stone Crabs 2-1. St. Lucie is 24-21 on the season, and they are in a tie for first place with the Jupiter Hammerheads. And the Columbia Fireflies, who are 24-22, got just what they needed, a sweep of the Augusta Green Jackets. A 4-run fifth inning was enough to get them past the Green Jackets, giving Columbia a 3-game winning streak and some needed confidence as they go on a 7-game road trip to West Virginia for 4 games and to Rome, Georgia for 3. The Columbia Fireflies are 24-22, and they are 5.5 games out of first place. And it's 22 days left to opening day of the New York Penn League and the single-A affiliate of the New York Mets, the Brooklyn Cyclones. You can still get tickets, so go to brooklyncyclones.com and pick up some of those tickets for that great New York Penn League action. See the stars of tomorrow, today, and this weekend's going to be special at Citi Field, and it is the 1986 championship weekend, and we're going to honor the 30-year anniversary of the 1986 world champion New York Mets. And doesn't seem like it was 30 years ago, folks, but it was, and I was fortunate enough to be there at Game 7 when they did win it. And it'll be great to see all of these guys back, and there's going to be stuff going on the whole weekend. So if you can, get out to Citi Field. Friday night, they're giving out a replica of the team jersey from 86. Saturday is the big night. All the guys are going to be there on the field and everything. They got some nice ceremonies. And Sunday is something else. Oh, well, a facsimile of the championship ring the Mets are going to hand out. So that's all going to be happening this week, so go check it out. Well, that does it for this edition of the podcast. This edition is brought to you by our Patreon supporters. If you would like to help in keeping this podcast going, I urge you to check out our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/Mets Musings. So thanks for listening to this episode, and until next time, keep the faith, stay optimistic, and let's go Mets!